I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Alrighty, third hour here on the show. Tinky and Tierney jumping into a new week here, final week of the NBA regular season. And we're coming to you from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. You know, this is a really tough one for me, what we're about to get into. So, nobody would contest the statement that Anthony Davis is one of the true superstars in the NBA, right?
No doubt.
Okay. I mean, the eye test, obviously, wildly passes that.
Mm-hmm.
9 years, you're talking about an eight-time All-Star. He's a four-time All-Defensive Team, three-time block champion, mm-hmm. four times All-NBA, All-Rookie, obviously. That was a given back in the day out of Kentucky. So in 9 years, his personal accomplishments are undeniable. However, until he paired with LeBron, he had no team success. You want to tell me he was in the Western Conference? Mm-hmm. It was a rough road. Okay, maybe there's a little something there. There's always nuance, but it does seem to be very incongruent what he is as a player and what his teams, and I'll say teams because I'm, also talking about this version of the Lakers without LeBron and, of course, the Pelicans before that.
Yep.
His teams do not match accomplishment of what one of the true superstars in the NBA would generally generate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you're right. And this season is different in a sense. It's actually not, because I was going to say something, and now I got to rethink what I was going to say, BT. Because here's the thing: how many games did he miss this year, right? And that's been the narrative for Anthony Davis his entire career. They played almost 60 games, right? 59 games, I think they played.
Seventy-two.
So they played 66 games. All right, so he's missed 33 games, BT. And so what was the narrative for Anthony Davis his entire career, basically? At some point, he's going to go down. He's going to miss, whether it's 5 games or it's 15 games or, in this case, 30-something games. And so I almost understand why he hasn't been able to be that guy or grasp that role, because it's like he's always not available, and that's got to be frustrating for him. It also had to be frustrating for the New Orleans Pelicans and the Hornets before that, but now here with the Lakers, it's the same thing. But I think we saw something last night which could be encouraging, because here's the thing: I forgot who we talked to a couple of weeks ago, but they were talking about the top players. It was Julius Randle that he brought up, how he's not lifting the guys around him, right? He's a scorer, Julius Randle is now, but until you become that player that also lifts all the lineup around you, then you're not really the guy, right?
Yeah.
You're not really that one. LeBron James is that guy. Chris Paul could even say you'd be that guy. James Harden, Russell Westbrook, all these guys who are big assist guys as well as good scorers. Anthony Davis has never really, he's never been that. I mean, his career assist average per game is 2.3,
mm-hmm.
and you're right. And for the first part of his year, it's like one and a half. I mean, he just wasn't what he did. He had blocks and he played good defense and he scored. That was it. But I think we saw a little bit last night, and it's starting to be that way in his tenure with the Lakers, where he is starting to facilitate a little, at least attempt to facilitate a little bit more. And when push comes to shove and you have to win a game, because this is really the true test for a number one for me, can you put your head down and go score 40 points, right?
Yes.
And if you can't do that, let's not even have this conversation. And I think Anthony Davis is starting to learn, one, to be a facilitator, but two, like, sometimes it's just got to be me, right? I'm not going to be passive and wait and, like, feed me. It's give me the damn ball. Let's go do something. And I feel like he's getting to that point almost by necessity, because this Lakers team came into this year with so much expectation, and because he missed 33 and LeBron missed 2.5 weeks, they've struggled. Or really, LeBron's a month, right?
More than a month. No, LeBron's – well, he came back.
Yeah,
he missed 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And but then he came back, and now he's –
But they've struggled. They've struggled for consistency. And Anthony Davis, now that he's healthy – I put that in quotes because I don't know if he actually is fully healthy, but whatever – is starting to rise to that occasion. So I'm encouraged – but if you would ask me by the totality of his career now, which is what, eight seasons? No, nine
he's
seasons.
He's in his ninth season,
right? I would say no. He's not a number one.
So
but I feel like he's almost actively trying to get there now, and I think that's a good thing.
Well, it's funny you brought in Randall's name to the conversation. I'm as big a Julius Randle fan as there is, but there's nobody, including me, that would say Anthony Davis is better than Julius Randle. Yet Julius Randle's doing something that, for the most part, he did get to the Eastern. The Western Conference semis the 1 year with the Pelicans. They played the Warriors in round two.
Yeah.
They actually won one of those games. That's when the Warriors were at their apex. They lost 4-1.
Didn't they sweep somebody one of those years in the first round?
In the first round. They may have. They might have. But he comes into the NBA as a rookie in 2012, 2013. They went 27-55. A lot of great rookies got their heads handed to him no big deal. Year two, he goes 34-48.
Yeah, they did, by the way. 2017-18, they swept the Portland Trailblazers.
They swept Portland. Okay.
4-0.
And then they lost in five to the, right?
Yep, that's exactly right, to the Warriors.
So your first year, rough, 27-55, 38-48. Year three, he is 45-37, but they lose in round one. But that's okay. Third year, some progress. Mm-hmm. Mid-40 win total, get to the playoffs. And then, well, what happens the next year? Boom. They go 30-52.
Yeah.
Then they go 34-48. Then they have a bump up. That's when they got to when they swept Portland and lost to the Warriors. They go 48-34. Then they go 28 in 2018, 2019, 33-49. That's when they traded him. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying about the injuries. That's been a big part of it. But, I mean, it's been a huge part of his narrative. But are we supposed to deduce from that, at least for you, that you believe if he was a pillar of health all these years and regularly a 75, 76, 77 a game a year guy, that he would have been, he would be viewed as more of a franchise elevator, or you're still not sure?
I'm not sure, BT.
Me too.
Right? Because he's 28 years old. Now, not that that's old by any means. I mean, LeBron is playing a decade longer than he is right now, right? So not quite, but he's getting close. And I wonder, for those guys that fall into those roles that we're talking about here, whether it's Jordan or LeBron or any of these other alpha guys, Steph Curry, is it natural? Like, do you just do it, or is it taught to you, or is it encouraged into you? And so
I think you're born with it.
I think you're right. But if it is the latter, then it's a failing of those that have tried to coach him and to push him and the veterans around him. But if it's the former, that is, it's something you're born with, then I don't know if he'll ever get it, right? Because he's 28. He's been around and he's seen the success of all these other guys who have done this, who have gone into not ideal situations, not superstar laden squads, and then just grinded until they became that guy, and then the team slowly started to lift around him. I mean, that's the LeBron story. Now he's a unicorn in a lot of ways, LeBron James, but the example is there. And Anthony Davis maybe just hasn't ever seen it until he played with LeBron James, and so now he realizes it, and And he could go that way. But I'm not, to your answer your question directly, I'm not convinced that it's going to happen. And that's not a bad thing, by the way.
No.
Right? You can be a Hall of Famer, an all-timer, a multiple champion, Scottie Pippen, because he's a perfect example.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And never be that guy.
That's true.
And there's no negative there. There's no like hate. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
Certain players are like ordained to do it, and Anthony Davis might not be one of those guys.
Well, that's why, you know, I think we've become so desensitized to the word great, which is why I'm always very protective of it. I mean, too often now, I know players kind of just spit it out during he's a great player. And I'm not talking about players, but if you're doing what you and I do for a living, or if you're an educated, informed, passionate fan, I think we've got to throw the word great around far less frequently than we do, because when there's 30 great players in the NBA, the tiers within that greatness become obscured, and there's definitely a tier. I mean, Magic Johnson entered the NBA with whatever we think AD might not have. Magic had it.
That's right.
Bird had it. You know, LeBron had it, although LeBron had to learn a little bit to not defer, but LeBron had it. Jordan had it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, but then there's a lot of guys like, at least, you know, this generation that I'll take Carmelo. Carmelo's still playing. He's one of the all-time great scorers of all time. But, you know, was he really a franchise elevator? I don't think he was. And his history says no. He took the Nuggets to the Western Conference Finals one year. They lost. He had a 54-win season with the Knicks, and he lost in Game 6 to the Pacers in the semis. And that was it. And a lot of, you know, first-round duds were complete with the Knicks non-playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you're a great player and a luminary of the game doesn't mean that you are, you know, you're born into that very rarefied air of and I left out Kobe before. Kobe obviously was born with that too. It's a special trait that so few possess.
Yeah.
So few.
Yeah, but I think this is and I wonder if he's aware of it, Anthony Davis. And maybe he is because of what's happening in L.A.
Yeah.
Like, there's an urgency in L.A. Like, there's a little bit of a panic going on, I believe, with the Lakers right now. And we saw that in the urgency what they played last night against the Suns in a win in a game they had to have. You know what I mean? They had to have this victory if they want any chance of avoiding the play-in game. But there's an urgency that's happening right here because of the expectation preseason, all the injuries that we already talked about. But they're in danger, man. If they just have a bad game against, say, the Warriors, because the Warriors are the 8 seed, or better yet, Steph Curry goes and scores 58 because he seems like he's capable of doing that, especially once he gets to the next season and the urgency picks up and he's hot and he stays hot the whole game and the Lakers don't have an answer for him. Could they now lose the play-in game and then have to play another one just to get the 8 seed? The answer is yes. And that's a death set scenario for the Lakers, because then they come off of that and then they got to play the Jazz. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, for a 7-game series. So this is not an ideal spot for the Lakers to be in right now. Whether LeBron is fully healthy or not, they got to figure this thing out. And the only way it's going to happen is if Anthony Davis rises to the occasion. Because LeBron's not going to be, I mean, he's going to play. And it is what it is. Not injury related. I don't know what the heck Ryan was talking about.
That was odd.
He had an ankle sprain. Or maybe not what Ryan was talking about, but what the Lakers are talking about and that Ryan conveyed to us. LeBron James got a high ankle sprain. That thing takes forever to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Whether people want to admit it or not, it takes forever to heal. So my point is, if the Lakers are going to do this this season, it's on Anthony Davis.
Then I don't know if that's a good thing.
Well, we'll find out. That's the thing.
I
look at it as an opportunity, to be honest with you. Because if you're AD and you're feeling healthy, he has no twinges from whatever, from his calf and potential Achilles. There's no issues right now.
Yep.
And he's been playing now for about two weeks. So we can assume that he's okay. He looks very spry and bouncy last night, catching those oops from what's his name? Forget the bald kid. Caruso from Alex Caruso, right? He looked good last night. So if I'm Anthony Davis, I'm saying, look, this is my chance. I know that some people are having this conversation about me. This is my opportunity, man. And I'm going to take it serious, and I'm going to go facilitate and make this team better and push us, hopefully, out of the play-in game. And if, God forbid, we fall into the playoff game, then we got to find a way to beat the Golden State Warriors.
You know what's interesting? if you ask me, you know, who are the names that can most alter favorably their legacy?
Yeah.
I would give you a couple. All right. I would say certainly if Randall finds a way to win a playoff series, I mean, then that narrative keeps growing that he's really this kind of player. And then next season, it begins with the hype
You're talking about this 21.
Talking about this playoff series coming in. And then, you know, if the Knicks were to win and Randall was in the middle of it, which he would be, obviously, for them to win a seven-game series, he enters next season with the steam that he's generated from, you know, early third this season until now. So that propels him. But he's not generally perceived to be a superstar. I'll give you two superstars who really can benefit from this play-in in a weird way. Mm-hmm. One is AD, but the other is Steph Curry.
Yeah, like that's a good point.
We've talked about, this was a storyline on this show before
the season started. That's right.
You and I were so curious. We wanted to see, all right, and it's not shade at Steph, best shooter of all time. He's number 20 for me. I did my list. It's on Instagram. Go find it. About a month ago, he's number 20 all time for me. Some people have him higher, whatever. That's me. He's number 20. And he could move up, quite frankly.
Yeah. By the way, that's all time, not shooter. All time. He's number one shooter.
No, that's the greatest players. I mean, that's yes. That's Michael. That's Kareem. That's LeBron. You
just
Magic,
clarity.
The birds.
People
clarity
might be listening to you sideways.
Yeah,
20th
no.
greatest shooter. Come
no,
on now.
No. That's the Duncans. That's the Oscar Robertsons, et cetera, et cetera. So I look at him, and I looked at him maybe more specifically, as you did as well. All right, so there's no Clay, no expectations. Again, you and I both had the Warriors. We had them slotted 7-8 seed. We didn't expect much from them. But we also brought up the notion, boy, if they do, you know, get a top four seed and he's able to kind of push this franchise into a space that they probably have no business being in this year, it can favorably, you know, increase an already great legacy. Yep. Well, he hasn't done that with the top four, nor will he. But if he ever plays around and, you know, drops a 57-point, as you said, and beats the Lakers or beats whomever, and they advance, and then, you know, he averages 46, and even if it's a first-round loss, Steph Curry can still improve his legacy this year, even if he doesn't go far in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And, you know, he's in that category simply because of what's not around him. But he's been great all season long. Anthony Davis, as we were just mentioning, he can do that as well, because there's a belief that Anthony Davis has a limit to whatever it is he can be, but he can knock that away with a couple of big games once the postseason starts, and especially if they end up, you know, way down here and got to play the Jazz.
Mm-hmm. All right, Teague. So we'll be following for sure at the end of the season, and this is one of the disadvantages of playing in the play-in. It's from the 18th to the 21st is when it goes, just a couple days, and it ends on Friday. And the playoffs begin on Saturday. Now, I would imagine the NBA will throw you a bone. Like, if you wrap up your play-in series on Friday, your game one will be Sunday. I can't imagine it's going to be on Saturday. But still, it's a quick turnaround for a couple of guys who have had injury issues. And it just, you know, gives you a bit of a different layer to the test. So we'll see. All right, let's get to this coming up next year. So last week, an NFL GM said, you know what? If you're not vaccinated, we're going to cut you. And obviously, the league is not happy about this. Teague was off when I talked about this. I want to get back to it. And we'll get into, really, as I used the word on Friday, how irresponsible those comments are. We'll get to that coming up next. Teague and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Hey, Saturday on CBS, the PGA Tour is in Texas, a fantastic field, including the world's number one golfer. That's Dustin Johnson. Compete the Byron Nelson Championship. Live coverage begins at 3 Eastern. Noon Pacific, Saturday on CBS, and we were hoping for a little lefty special over the weekend, this past weekend on CBS. We didn't get that, but we got to return to the winner's circle by Rory, Teague. 18 months, so we'll see if this propels Rory back into it. He hasn't won a major since, what is it, like 2015?
Been a 14? While now. I mean, because he didn't win on tour until 2019.
Yeah, it's been 18 months since he went on tour. It's...
I think it might be BT because it's because he was right out the gate.
Yeah,
when he won a bunch.
When he's got four.
Yep, he won four, and then it's been a long time, man.
I might be off. I might be, you know, misremembering, but I think it's 2014. Either way, Rory back in good form yesterday. Even though he bogeyed that 18th, it was a grind. I mean, when you haven't won in a while, I'm sure it's not easy coming down the stretch.
The best story was Bryson, though.
Yes.
I'm not making the cut.
I saw that.
I'm 90th. Peace out. I'm going to Dallas. Wait, yeah. You made the cut. And then he finished tied for ninth.
I know.
Right? And put him in number one in the FedEx Cup standing. So
that's probably, you know, it's funny. That's the kind of, when you just show up, for those who missed the story, DeChambeau thought that he missed the cut.
Yeah, he was 90th in the clubhouse.
Yes, 90th in the clubhouse. His agent texts him later on. He's like, yo, you made the cut. You got to get back. So he jets back and he plays. He's probably flying back as loose as a goose. I have no chance to win. I'm going pin-seeking, and let me just go and destroy. And he made a run.
That's right.
He climbed into the first page. Pretty good stuff. All right, Teague. So Brandon Bean, as we know, is the GM for the Bills, doing a really good job. They're a terrific organization. As crazy as that sounds saying, the Bills are a terrific organization. And they have been now for a couple of years, that gradual incremental growth. You know, even going back to Tyrod Taylor when they made a playoff game with Tyrod. And then, of course, Josh Allen's just having a real chance to win a Super Bowl. They're on most people's short list to win a Super Bowl. So Bean came out last week. Tiki was out. I talked about this. I want to play this for you again. I want my partner to hear it. It's about basically cutting. I mean, you'll hear it yourself, but I'll just set it up. About cutting players if they aren't vaccinated. And here's Bean on that. We obviously will circle back after you hear from the GM.
If you're one player away from the ratio from living normal or having everybody to be tested, do you just cut a guy that's not vaccinated?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I would, because it'd be an advantage, honestly.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're laughing, but these meetings were not as productive as before, because we had, I mean, you guys saw it in the field house. We had 3 and 4 meetings going on, and sometimes you're talking over each other, but it was the only way to pull it off and be socially distanced. So it would be an advantage to cut a player and fall under that umbrella.
All right, so that was Brandon Bean of the Bills with Steve Tasker, our buddy.
Yeah.
And on One Bills Live is the name of the chat. And your reaction there, Mr. NFL player.
Yeah, I mean, they're joking about this in a way because
of... Bean's joking or they're joking?
They are. Bean is, I think, as well, because this is a hypothetical rule that they're talking about that... You know, you won't be able to be in close proximity unless you are vaccinated. And so if a guy is not vaccinated, then you have to set up a special guy or guys are not vaccinated. You have to set up special meeting capabilities. And so it gets very complicated and disruptive. And I think we saw last year, that's actually something that's possible. Like, you can do it. It's a pain in the ass logistically. I can only imagine how hard it was for an NFL team with doing a position meeting. Like, you go practice, and then you got to be virtual for the position. It just makes no sense, right?
Yeah.
But the logistics of it had to be hard. And I kind of co-sign your stance on this. It's irresponsible to say something like this because there are... You know, a lot of people who are wary of the vaxxers. I'm not saying that I'm espousing an anti-vax, vaxxing world here or vaccine hesitancy, but there are a lot of people that just are that way.
And some for religious reasons, by the way.
Whatever the reason, religious or otherwise, you're right. And so it's almost unfair to limit a guy's ability to earn a living simply because he won't get the vaccine. And so I think there are better solutions than just cutting a guy. And yes, it'll be logistically more of a pain in the butt. Or you just you know, realize that there is the risk. Wear a mask, be socially distant in close proximity, and try to figure it out that way. I find it not... I don't know. You play a football game. You're not wearing a mask when you're playing a football game. Yet, as soon as you go to the sideline, you have to put a mask on, right? I understand why
optics. You know the answer.
Exactly. Optics. So if it's going to just be optical, then have the dude wear a mask in the meeting room if that's bothering you that much.
Yeah. You know, you said you think that they were kind of kidding around. The NFL didn't think they were kidding around because they reached out to Bean.
Yes,
good point. So the NFL didn't take it as a joke or, you know, just an offshoot, a quick aside. They took it seriously.
Look, this is becoming, not an issue, but like, who was it? It was DeMorris Smith said the other day that he was thinking about, I don't know if they've actually instituted this, thinking about encouraging any of their players who feel uncomfortable to give them the option to opt out again for the 2021 season. And I know Peter King responded to this, and It's almost like, what are we even talking about anymore? If you don't want to play the game, don't play the game. You know that there's inherent risks that come from just being an athlete. There are inherent risks that come from the coronavirus as well. But encouraging guys to opt out again, I don't know if that's the right move for the Players Association to be espousing.
You know, the NFL they just put together a pretty good draft. I mean, listen, I don't know if I need to hear from a band that was popular 13 years ago, even though I kind of like some of their songs. And yeah. It was a little strange how Goodell had no mask on, the players had no mask on, but yet the fan who got up to go to the microphone and announce the pick had to wear a mask, and it was a little disjointed in that regard. But it was great to see 50,000 people together in Cleveland. Cleveland, like every city.
All of them vaccinated, right?
All of them vaccinated. Yes, for sure. All of the people making the picks were vaccinated, which is why I really say that. If they weren't vaccinated, absolutely wear the mask. But it just did, it seemed like it was a little inconsistent, but that's neither here nor there. 50,000 people for a city, like every American city, that could use a little boost to the economy right now. Based on where we've been for the last 18, 20 months. So all good all around. The NFL schedule is coming out this week on Wednesday. That'll be a show. We've got five quarterbacks taken in round one. Everybody's pumped up to see him play. But it just seems we have an extra game this year, 17. It just seems like the messaging is so mixed and so divisive that it is a bit of a buzzkill. Like they're polar opposite approaches and beliefs. It seems at this juncture, which can't be great for business down the road.
Well,
if they don't resolve it.
Well, here's the question: like, if you had a chance to go to a football game, you're vaccinated. Are you going?
Are you talking about when I go to a game?
Yeah, like 2021.
Yeah, when I go there with 80,000 people.
Yeah, full stadiums.
I don't know if I'd go with 80,000 people. To be honest with you, I don't know about that. I'm not sure. I don't know.
And that's the issue I think the NFL is facing. Like they're trying to create this comfort level, like it's over in a sense.
Yeah.
But we clearly know that it's not.
Rates
are falling. Everything is looking good for in the United States. But yes, there are parts of the world.
India is wow.
Yeah, I mean, there's 1.5 billion people there. Of course, I mean, it's just they're having issues. They don't have vaccine like we have the vaccine. And so it feels like we're getting clear here, but we're not. And so there are serious financial repercussions, as we saw last year, for the game. And they have to be careful about the rhetoric that they're using and the suppositions that they're making when we talk about this virus, whether either, you know, wearing a mask, not wearing a mask, being vaccinated, not being vaccinated, and what that means for real life fans who miss the game, but aren't necessarily just going to say, all right, you guys, you say it's fine, we're going to come.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if people are just going to come just because they say it's okay.
No, listen, the NFL is trying to protect their pocket. We're not dumb. Right. We know what they're doing. Everything that every business does is motivated by money. But the NFL really, I mean, they are very protective, as they should be, of their brand, of their product. But, I think if you're just following the NFL's lead right now fully, it's probably a bit misleading. You know, would you go to a game with 80,000 people?
Probably not.
Probably not 80,000 people. If you tell me it's 2/3 full, I get a little spacing. Maybe. I mean, I'm mentally, I'm getting there. I'm definitely going to a Yankee game this summer. I'm taking my family to a game. Now, it's only 10,000 people in a 50,000 seat venue, but we're going to a Yankee game once we, wrap up Little League and everything. We'll, do some other things as a family. But I'm doing that. Yeah. I'm doing that.
Look, I've flown.
I'm going.
I've flown multiple times. I flew all last year because I did college games and an NFL game. And it didn't feel random, right? The problem with the live sporting event is it feels like there's a randomness to it that gives you uncertainty.
You mean the people who go, the randomness to it, or the randomness in terms of who adheres to what?
Yeah, that and percentage, right? You're playing the percentage.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Whereas if you're, like, some people won't have a mask on, others will.
Yeah.
Are they vaccinated? I have no idea.
I don't know.
Right? Whereas if you're getting on a plane, even though you're sitting next to people, which is, also an oxymoron, but at least everybody is required to wear a mask and try to be socially responsible. I don't know if that's going to happen at a sporting event.
Yeah, well, especially when you start, you know, funneling seven beers in the parking lot before the opening kick. It's
that's probably right.
Rules of engagement are going to go washed ashore. All right, let's get the update from Ack. Ack is with us. We'll come back. We'll do the blast. Oh, before I forget, Ack, real quick. So I put a poll up, and I'll give you the results when we get back. But you heard our conversation about DeGrom earlier in the last, in hour one. In inbounds, out of bounds. I say if he never throws another pitch, he's in the Hall of Fame. Tiki disagrees. I think I know which way you'll go, but what's your answer for the record? Yes or no?
No.
I knew you'd say that. You're an old school guy, married to the benchmark. No, no, no. You're more married to the benchmark.
It's not necessarily the benchmark, BG.
It's just not enough of a shelf life on it.
Oh, well, yeah. Let me ask you this then. All right, so let me ask you this.
Is there a precedent? That's the question that I would
Koufax,
ask.
Koufax, to an extent.
Yeah, but
Koufax is different. First of all, it was a different era, right?
But it was easier back then.
Yeah, but he's also not Koufax right now. He's had two really good years.
Outside of the wins, which is antiquated measurement, his numbers are better than Koufax's.
Well, here I'll give you this comparison.
And the league's a lot harder.
I'll give you this comparison: Tim Lincecum.
All right, well, Timmy was great. That's an interesting one. Mm. Now that's something I could get behind because I saw him pitch in person. I'm very well aware Timmy was unhittable for a couple of years with the Giants. Then he lost Tim Lincecum also weighed 168 pounds, and he lost his fastball and he lost everything. But I got you.
I mean, DeGrom's only 175?
but he's tall. He's got leverage.
If he has two more years like this, I'd say yes. But I'm not quite there yet.
Well, listen, I respect that. I'm not trying to change your mind. But I said to Teague, and I believe this. I mean this. I have never seen, now I'm not talking about totality of one's career, just, start. I have never seen somebody as great as DeGrom. Now, Pedro was close. Not Clemens. Like, to me, it's maybe peak Kershaw and peak Pedro are comparable to peak DeGrom.
It's the last 4 years you're looking at, BT. The two Cy Youngs and then the K's per nine are just ridiculous.
And he's so consistent too.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I think if we do this another 2 minutes, Zach is going to come to my side.
I don't know. I'm staying with Tiki on this.
Yeah. He's stubborn as a mule. He's not changing.
Update
from Mac. We'll come back. Blast. Wrap up a great Monday. Here's Rich. All right. Tiki and Tierney bring it home on this Monday. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Going to get to the blast in a moment. First up, time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. And got a couple of good ones to choose from here, Teak. Let's see which one Samter selected. And I think we're going to go with this. This one's from Jacob, who's up in Providence. All right, guys. Of the four teams currently sitting in the 9th and 10th slots in the play-in games, and those teams are, in case you don't know, Wizards, Pacers, and the Wizards and the Pacers and the Grizzlies and the Spurs, who's got the best shot of winning the play-in tournament? I'd probably say the Spurs.
I don't know. I thought Spurs too, just because we always just disrespect the Spurs.
I don't know if I want to mess around with the Wizards right now.
I'm going to say Washington. BT.
Although Bradley Beal strained his hamstring,
he did.
So
and
that
we
hurts
saw
a little.
That
I'm going to stick with the Spurs. I'm going to show them a little respect.
Yeah, you have to. With Bradley Beal out, I mean, Russell Westbrook has been out of this world the last week and a half, 2 weeks. Uh-huh. But if Beal is extendedly hurt, like James Harden with the hamstring, then they have no shot.
No question.
So I got to go Spurs too.
All right. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
That's a good question. I mean, it really is.
That was a good question. You don't really give it that much. You talk about who's going to get in. We don't really think about who's going to emerge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you think about the analysis of the play-in, we don't really waste time on who's going to actually win it. We're like, well, who's going to have to mess around and play it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Memphis, good question.
Memphis has been okay. Jackson. Jackson came back, and they got a little bit better, but they're just inconsistent. They win one, they lose one, they lose a couple, win one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to go Spurs, man. It's, as long as Popovich is the coach, I got to give it to him for one game, or in this case, two-win scenario to get into the postseason.
All right, you ready to get the blast, see what we piece together, see what's cooking on a Monday?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Mentioned this before, Tiki. The NFL schedule officially drops. I'll Wednesday, the 2021 mm-hmm. schedule is going to drop on Wednesday, and they've already removed the Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers promo from their release. So how much does an NFL team schedule impact their season?
I think significantly because of when you play certain teams. Now, I don't know when they were thinking about doing this Patrick Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers, Kansas City Chiefs versus Green Bay Packers game. But if it was, say, early in the season before either team had established themselves, it can be disruptive to your year, especially if it's a bad loss one way or the other.
Yeah.
Or it could just be something you forget. Now, you put it in the middle of the season or right when you're supposed to be peaking, and the same thing happens. You get blown out by one of these other teams. It can derail you. So the timing of these challenging games, I think, really matters a lot.
I agree with you. I also think, you know, take a situation where maybe any of the Florida teams, Miami, Jacksonville,
mm-hmm.
Take them, say if they're playing Seattle, say if they're playing the NFC West that year, you go up to Seattle. The one thing to go up to Seattle in September,
yeah.
Another thing to go out there in December, or you have to go to Lambeau in early October or the third week in December. I mean, that obviously impacts. Same things for
great
teams
point.
Who are in the NFC. Like if you're Falcons, if you're a dome team and you go and play the Bills, say if the AFC East is on your schedule and you're playing the Bills in you know, late-ish November versus early in the season, you know, that matters. So the schedule is a big deal. I mean, you know, it's just some divisions aren't good. And some divisions are pretty damn tough. So
yeah.
If you play a good division, you better be a legitimate team, because if you play a good division out of division from the other conference out of your initial division, you can't like skate by and be a flimsy 9-7 playoff team.
No,
reality
right.
is going to come through if you're playing a tough schedule.
The weather thing you mentioned was a huge deal, because remember the Arizona Cardinals used to be in the NFC East, BT. If we had them in September, it was brutal.
Yeah, like, 110
brutal.
Degrees.
Easy. And I remember we played them. We were bad. So we were coming from behind. We were in 2-minute offense for the entirety of the third and fourth quarters. I almost died.
What?
Because it was so
dehydrated?
Hot. Yeah, because you're in 2-minute offense. We're running like no huddle. You know what I mean? So we're just kind of up at the line of scrimmage, run a play. Up at the line of scrimmage, run a play. Up in the line of scrimmage, run a play. It's like 100 degrees outside. And you no time to take a break because we're trying to catch up.
But the good thing is, usually you guys would go out there. Most teams would have a multiple touchdown lead by the third quarter.
But we weren't good. That was the problem. We weren't good.
Teams,
I remember that game. I was like, Toom, I cannot return punts. You have to go return punts. Toom's like, look, I got to stand up. I'm playing wide receiver.
Yeah, yeah.
You return the punts.
Did you get fluids?
Oh, this was the only time in my career I had to take fluids after the game.
Did they help right away? You feel the regeneration?
Your body feels like you just had the hardest workout you've ever been through.
Yeah, I believe it. That's tough. Speaking of the Wizards, before Bradley Beal dropped the 50-piece and the Wizards went over the Pacers, and later that night, Steph Curry scored 49 of his own. Now, the two, of course, are battling for the scoring title this season, as we know. Post-game, Steph said, he keeps some tabs on Beal.
Did you know Beal had 50 before it tipped tonight?
Of course I did.
Okay. Did you know how many you needed to take the lead?
No, I didn't go that level. I watched everybody in the league. I know what he's doing. He's obviously been playing at a high level. But anytime somebody gets 50, you hear about it.
All right. Do we mind Steph openly wanting the scoring title, though I don't know that he really said it there, as the Warriors battle for a playoff spot?
Yeah, I don't think he actually said, I want the scoring title.
No, he definitely didn't say that.
I think he's just saying, guy scored 50. All right, cool, great. Why not go have a day?
Well, here's the thing. If the Warriors are battling for a playoff spot, they're not going to get that playoff spot unless Steph Curry does drop 50.
Yeah.
I mean, so they go hand in hand. If Steph has an off night, they're not going to win. If Steph is magical, they've got a little bit more than a puncher's chance to maybe upset somebody decent. So, listen, Steph is all about winning. And I believe that he's able to compartmentalize both winning and also, you know, like the team concept in pursuit of winning, but also individual accolades. I think he can juggle both, and I think he can juggle both very professionally.
Yeah, I saw those articles over the last couple of days. Steph's not trying to win this. I mean, he probably is, but he's not like actively pursuing the scoring title. Like, this is the most important thing for me to do this season.
No.
That's just kind of how it's being presented. It's
and listen,
not necessarily
I appreciate
fair for Steph.
He wants to win.
You're right.
But I appreciate the honesty. Guys guys chasing a home run title. Yeah, I want to win the home run title. Yeah. I hit home runs, my team's going to do better. I have no problem when guys acknowledge individual accolades. I'm not really bothered by that.
Not at the expense of the team.
No, I get
that. I think that's what your point was.
Yes.
Yeah. Steph has to score 50 if this team wants to win.
Correct. Correct. On Friday, we saw a little – well, we didn't see the scuffle, but we know that Francisco Lindor and Jeff McNeil were believed to have gotten into a little bit of a scrap. Santa wrote the word kerfuffle. I'm saying it because he wrote it. You couldn't pay me to use that word, like as if I was actually speaking. I would never use that word. Who the heck says that?
That was D-Cell.
I know people do, but
D-Cell did.
Was that D-Cell? D-Cell, did you actually think I was going to use that word kerfuffle?
Great word.
It's
great
a horrendous word. Kerfuffle?
Kerfuffle. No, have you ever used that in a sentence, D-Cell?
No, never.
Ever.
I did when I wrote number three of the blast.
Okay, but have you ever... Wait, no. In day-to-day exchanges, have you hanging out with your buddies? Hey, did you see the kerfuffle the other night between the Rangers and the Capitals?
Why not?
Hey, honey, stop. I'm sorry for the kerfuffle we had the other day.
Well, I might say to my wife because I'm looking for a gentle, you know, an easy, you know, if and when that happens, maybe a soft landing. So maybe with my wife, I'll use it. Not with my boys, and certainly not on a sports show.
All right, let's get to it.
Anyway, they had a little scrap allegedly, but post game, Lindor said that's not what really happened, that there was no scrap.
What exactly happened in the tunnel there?
Steve, it was funny because I told him, I was like, hey, I'd never seen a New York rat. So we went down sprinting. I wanted to go see a New York rat. And he got mad at me. He's like, no, it's not a rat. It's a raccoon. I'm like, hell no, man. It's a damn rat. It's a New York rat, man. I was just crazy because we were going back and forth debating if it was a rat or a raccoon. Crazy, man. Insane.
Who is he? Who are you debating that with?
With Jeff. I was like, bro, you gotta check this out. I was like, this is a New York rat. He's like, no, man, I've been here longer than you.
I mean, he's such a good liar. It's almost frightening how good of a liar he is. Like, he says it so believably. Wow.
You don't actually believe that happened?
Not for one second. Mets GM Zach Scott responded, wasn't happy with Lindor's handling of the situation. So what do we make of Lindor's comments there, Tiki?
I think he should be a PR executive. Seriously, man. Because he's the way he disarmed that and made it like, don't ask me that stupid question. I thought it was a rat. He said it was a raccoon. How the heck is a raccoon getting to the baseball stadium, by the way?
Well, that's happened, believe it or not. I mean, you've had cats on the cats.
I thought he did a good job of disarming the situation.
So did I.
So despite, you know,
the GM not being happy,
I thought he did a good job.
Yeah, I don't care about what the GM thinks on that. I don't have an issue with, I think it's a good sign of leadership that Lindor was able to defuse it that quickly.
Yep.
But make no bones about it, there was a little bit of a scrap going on because the way the players ran into the tunnel with the urgency in which they ran, something was awry.
But he hit a home run, so I get it.
It's all good. Have a great Monday night. We'll see you tomorrow. Safe, sensible, and sane. Be well.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.